Acknowledging Your Anger, Part 5, Bitter or Better. Have you ever tasted anything bitter? Rick loves dark chocolate, and as far as he's concerned, the higher the percentage of cocoa it contains, the better. One year, on his return from summer holiday, he brought me back some chocolate that had a very high percentage of cocoa. It was so bitter that even the dog wouldn't eat it. Eating bitter chocolate is no big deal, though, as the taste soon goes away. Unfortunately, the same can't be said for bitter attitudes and feelings. Did you know that bitterness is really a form of anger? It's like a poisonous weed whose roots grow deep into the soil of our souls. Many things can provoke bitterness if not checked. Some common bitter roots result from being wronged in some way by other people. Being rejected, perhaps in childhood or in a friendship or a marriage relationship. Or being in a circumstance that wasn't of your choosing. Any of these and more can set the scene for bitterness to develop. Like the high level of cocoa in my chocolate, bitterness is unpleasant. It is strong, and it leaves little room for anything else. Let's have a look at each of these. First of all, bitterness is unpleasant. The Old Testament book of Ruth has three main characters: Ruth the Moabitess, Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, and Boaz, the man whom Ruth marries. Naomi knew what it was to suffer. She experienced famine, she was widowed, and her two sons died. I think her dreams died also. Dreams of grandchildren, perhaps, or of a better life in a foreign land. Bitter roots were being planted in Naomi's life experience. She interpreted unpleasant events in her life as being God's responsibility. However, like all of us, it was her responsibility to choose her response. And Naomi chose bitterness. Naomi's story tells us that bitterness is not something we're born with, but rather something we can acquire. She wasn't always bitter. The name Naomi means pleasant. But after the hard things that she had experienced, she wanted to be known as Mara, which means bitter. In effect, she was replacing the pleasant, Naomi, with the unpleasant, Mara, and thereby embracing bitterness. We've seen that bitterness is unpleasant, but it is also strong. Once bitterness takes root in our lives, it can be very difficult to remove it. You know what it's like when you have weeds growing in your garden. The longer you leave them, the harder it is to get rid of them. Over time, their roots go deeper and they start to spread to other parts of your garden that used to be weed-free. You know, it's pretty much the same with bitterness. One of the ways you can keep bitterness strong is to go over and over in your mind the hurts that were inflicted on you or the losses you endured as a result of difficult circumstances. Every time you do this, it's like treading a well-worn path across a field. The more you walk back and forth along this path, the more established that path becomes. In fact, you probably wouldn't consider crossing the field by any other route. And that's what happens with bitter attitudes and feelings. The more you tread the bitter path, the more firmly embedded in your life bitterness becomes, and the less likely you are to consider an alternative way of thinking. Why not take some time now to examine your thought processes by carefully answering the following questions? 1. Do you find yourself frequently replaying bitter memories in your mind? 2. Do you think that continually going over past or present hurts in your mind has any positive effects? 3. If you're bitter towards another person, Do you imagine that replaying these memories somehow punishes him or her? And four, who do you think your bitter attitude hurts more? The person to whom your bitterness is directed, or yourself? Bitterness then is unpleasant, bitterness is strong, and thirdly, bitterness leaves little room for anything else. I recently discovered some interesting facts about chocolate. Apparently, the degree of bitterness is proportional to the amount of unfermented cocoa it contains. When cocoa beans are allowed to ferment in their own sugary pulp before being dried, bitterness is less of a problem because the pulp helps to mellow the bean. However, if fermentation doesn't occur, a high cocoa percentage makes the chocolate extremely bitter. In fact, the higher it is, the less likely we are to be able to taste anything other than cocoa. There just isn't room for any other taste. The same is true of bitter attitudes and angry feelings. The more anger and resentment that's in our lives, the less of other, more pleasant characteristics there will be. Here are some suggestions for the unfermented cocoa in the life of a bitter person. Resentment, blaming other people, harsh or hurtful words, self-pity, holding back on forgiving others. It's probably true to say that the more of these things we have in our lives, the more bitter we will become. To what extent are you able to identify with any of the unfermented cocoa ingredients? What steps do you plan to take to deal with this? Why not speak to a trusted friend or counsellor for support and accountability? Let's look more closely at one of these unfermented cocoa ingredients, refusal to forgive. There's quite a lot of confusion and misunderstanding over what it means to forgive someone who has wronged us. It might be a good idea to look at what forgiveness is not before we consider some practical steps involved in extending forgiveness. First of all, forgiveness is not letting the offender get away with it. If someone has wronged you in some way, that person is answerable to God, and he will deal with them in the right way. Secondly, forgiveness is not saying, "My hurts don't matter." Forgiving your offender doesn't minimize the seriousness of the offense against you. Thirdly, forgiveness is not reconciliation. You can forgive, but you might never be reconciled or brought into a right relationship with the person who has wronged you. For this to happen, you need the other person's cooperation, and there are no guarantees that this will occur. Fourthly, forgiveness is not forgetting. Only God has the capacity to forgive and forget. In fact, God's forgetfulness is a deliberate choice not to remember. And fifthly, forgiveness is not easy. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to see this one through. So then, what is forgiveness? Here's one way of looking at it. Forgiveness is giving up your right to pay back or get even with someone who has wronged you, whether or not that person asks for your forgiveness. "But he doesn't deserve to be forgiven," you might say. Well, think for a moment about God's grace, where he gives us something we don't deserve. None of us deserves to be forgiven for our sins, yet God's grace does just that. He forgives us. But we miss out on extending that grace to others if we refuse to forgive those who have wronged us. Colossians 3:13 tells us a lot about the importance of forgiveness. It says, "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." You know, the cost of forgiveness can be very high. The Lord Jesus Christ knew this firsthand when he died on the cross to buy forgiveness for those who believe. And forgiveness can also be hard for us. But you know, the cost of not forgiving is even higher. Refusal to forgive someone will keep us in bondage to that person for the rest of our lives. It will continue to feed the resentment, bitterness, and anger that stunt our Christian development. The choice is ours: to forgive or not to forgive. That is the question. If you find it difficult or think it's impossible to extend forgiveness to someone, here are some practical steps you might wish to take using the letters of the word forgive. F. Face the fact that withholding forgiveness is contributing greatly to your bitterness and anger. O. Openly confess the sin of bitterness and unrighteous anger to God. R. Remind yourself that God in Christ has forgiven you. G. Give up your right to pay back your offender. I. Invite the help of the Holy Spirit as you begin the process of forgiveness. V. View your offender as one whom God will deal with justly. And E. Embrace the freedom that forgiving others brings. As you go through these steps, you might find it helpful to enlist the support of someone you can trust, who will be happy to pray for you and with you as you begin to walk toward the freedom of forgiveness. We find forgiveness such a difficult thing. People don't deserve to be forgiven, or they've hurt us so deeply. But we can only maintain a spirit of bitterness and lack of forgiveness if we stay away from the cross. Standing in the dust below the blood-stained cross, hearing the sinless Son of God pleading for the forgiveness of his torturers, we have no alternative but to forgive those who have wronged us. In this CD, we've considered anger and its various offshoots, for example, bitterness and jealousy, along with how anger can, in some cases, make it difficult to extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us. As we conclude, let's allow God's word to have the last word. James 1:19 says this: "My dear brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry."